You're such a nerd. I love it. You're such a nerd. I love it.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to Nerd Speak Podcast. I'm Adam Copley, joined by Jay Patel. Today is December 29th, the end of our 7 month about hiatus, almost eight. Jay, how have you been doing, spending the last few months?
I think, you know, both of us started our first semester in college, so I think we definitely got to learn how to keep track of time a little bit better, but hopefully now we got some time off, and we're looking forward to making some content. Hopefully we can find a semi-reliable schedule, at least, that we can both work off of and try to produce, like, weekly episodes.
Yeah, hopefully. So let's just get right into it. This is a very football-based episode. That's all the rave right now. It's week 17, and we've got a lot to talk about. Football's not your thing. That's fine. We have other episodes about other sports. We will have more content, but for now, this episode is very all football, and starting out with the New York Football Giants. Me and Jay both fans of that godforsaken team, and they are currently 4-11, coming off of a dismal loss to the Philadelphia Eagles. They just looked absolutely atrocious. It's 3-3 at the half. You were like, oh, no one deserves to win this one. And then the Eagles scored 35 unanswered. Giants got a garbage time touchdown, lost 38-10. But, as a whole, it was just abysmal football by both of those teams. The Eagles ended up blowing the Giants out because the Giants are just atrocious. And it's like the last few years, it feels like, you know, they haven't deserved to have anything to play for, but they have. Last week came down to the last week of the season. You know, like the games, they shouldn't have mattered, but they were in such a bad division that it did matter. And this year, all three of the other teams in the division have been somewhat okay, that the Giants have just been out of it for so long. And, I mean, these last few weeks have just – I mean, I've watched some of it, not all of it, because I have better things to do than watch the Giants. But, I mean, they are just – an atrocious football team.
Yeah. I mean, like, this Sunday, so obviously Daniel Jones hasn't been playing recently because of, like, that mysterious neck injury he had. But, like, so they started Jake Fromm. He was god-awful. He shouldn't be on a football team next year. Even, like, Mike Glennon, right, their actual backup quarterback, like, he's not good at anything, which is, like, pretty sad to say, considering, like, you see other teams in the league that have, like, decent backup QBs, whether it's, like, the Chiefs, I think they have Matt Moore, Chad Henne, right? The Ravens, Tyler Huntley, who's been, like, amazing recently. Even, like, the Browns, for example, like, Case Keenum, Nick Mullins, like, they're serviceable guys. Mike Glennon doesn't look like he can do anything productive on a football field. And I think, like, our general thought of, like, the Giants now is just that there's, like, they're a bottom five football team, or, like, at best, honestly. And it lines up, like, PFF grades them out as, like, the fourth worst team in football this year. There's not really much hope for them either, given the fact that they have no cap space because they spent it all on guys that aren't difference makers. They have two first round picks this year. But how much of, like, a broken roster can you really fix with only two first-round picks? Probably not that much. So, I don't know. It's rough. I don't think it's going to get any better anytime soon. There's kind of just a hit the Giants are going to have to take here.
Yeah, I mean, it's every aspect of the team. It's not like – I mean, it's just – I mean, the last offseason, and I didn't think they had that horrible of an offseason. And we'll get more into this later, but – I feel like you can tell Joe Judge moves versus Dave Gettleman moves.
Yeah.
Like, one of the – Dave Gettleman move last offseason was without a doubt giving Leonard Williams that contract, because that was Dave Gettleman saying, I trade a third-round pick for this guy, and then he had a great year, and now I've been able to prove it that I can make him a $20 million a year player while letting Dalvin Tomlinson, who was a very good run stopper and very good in that role – walk, because you can only take one of them, and Thompson would be much better value, and now you're stuck with this massive contract. And another Gettleman move, without a doubt, was Kyle Rudolph. Or that was either Gettleman or Jason Garrett, either way. I mean, Rudolph has been just atrocious. He doesn't do anything on the football field well. And then, you know, they spend their first-round pick on Kadarius Toney, who I have a lot of hope for. When he's been healthy, he's looked awesome. The thing is, they don't know how to use anyone in an offense. And I don't fully blame Freddie Kitchens right now because it's not his playbook. You know, it feels like he's doing his best with what he's been dealt by Garrett, which is just an uncreative, horrible playbook. But, I mean, Kadarius Toney is a weapon. When he has the ball in his hands, that dude can do crazy things, and he never does. Kenny Galladay, they spent all this money on him, which probably wasn't the best move, but he's a good wide receiver regardless, and he should make your offense better. But you wrote an article about it this week, which everyone should check out. But, like, I mean, this is the guy not being utilized. This is a deep ball. He's fantastic on deep balls. He's a lob it up, he'll go get it kind of guy. And he's been targeted barely at all deep.
Yeah, I mean, so starting with, I think you mentioned the Leonard Williams signing first, right? So he's going to make around, I think it's $27 million next year. And it's pretty funny, too, when you look back at it, the Giants, like, one of their biggest needs, at least on the defensive side right now, is a good nose tackle. They don't have a good nose tackle on the team. Like, and Tomlinson was exactly that. Tight end going with Kyle Rudolph, right? Like, Rudolph, he doesn't do anything for you. Like, and I think they're responsible for about, like, I want to say it's $7 million in salary for Rudolph next year. Even looking at, like, Kadarius Toney, that was a good pick. I liked it. I wasn't fully on board with taking him that high ahead of guys like Rashad Bateman and stuff, but when he's been healthy, he's been good. I don't know how healthy he's going to be. That seems to be his biggest problem right now. Kenny Galladay, again, just seemed like I did write that article, and I was talking about it with a couple of people, and it was more just kind of like they saw he was available, and they figured, like, oh, surely he'll work well with Jones as, like, you know, a good number one receiver for him, without actually knowing how to use a guy like him. Because he hasn't really seen many contested catch opportunities. He hasn't seen many deep balls. He hasn't completed a single deep ball. Caught a deep ball, I should say, rather. Which is pretty stark, considering when you look back at, like, his time in Detroit, he had two seasons at least, 2018, 2019, where he produced, like, a number one guy. And we haven't even seen, like, a glimpse of that now. Nate Solder, you know, that's a Gettleman signing for sure. Love the guy, but he's not good at football, like, at all.
No, yeah.
Doesn't really move the needle for you at all. And, yeah, I mean, you just get a lot of – you got a lot of signings like Solder, Galladay. Even, like, when Adoree Jackson got cut by the Titans, which was, like, a shocker to everyone, I think, they paid him, like, significant money to be a cornerback too. When, honestly, he's been – I like that contract a lot, actually, because he's been performing when he's healthy, though. And that's, like, you know, a big problem the Giants had. They extended Bradbury, too, to, like, cornerback one type of money just based off 1 year, when, like, in reality, he hasn't been that guy over, like, his full career. So there's a lot of, like, expensive players on the team that aren't really difference makers for you, and that doesn't really work well in the end.
Yeah, and, like, you know, cap space, it's not a myth, but it's very easily manipulated. The Saints are just masters at it because it's just they seem to be just kind of doing this thing where they're just going to keep pushing it back and never actually have to pay the money. Because if they just say, I'll do it next year, then they never have to actually pay it. But, like, it's just insane how bad Dave Gettleman's been. And he's going to come – his horrible tenure, which should have ended years ago, is going to most likely end at the end of the season in a ceremonious way, where they're going to let him walk off into the sunset with his retirement, and which he hasn't earned, and they're going to talk about him, thank him for, you know, years of dedication to New York Giants and all this stuff, because Mara is a family guy. And, you know, like, it's hard to say that you have to be, like, the way Mara runs a football team is he does run it like it's a family. He doesn't want these people. He wants to, you know, give people what they earn. He thinks that, you know, the more time you give to the team, the more you've earned and stuff like that. And he doesn't want to fire people. And that's very fair and it's admirable, but that's not how you win. And Mara has this idea that continuity equals functionality. And because when you look at like the Knicks over the past few decades, it's just been coach after coach, GM after GM. They keep cycling through these guys and everyone's like, this team's a mess. They'll never find it. But then they hire Leon Rose, and I think that he's put this team, the Knicks, in a pretty competent position. They're not title contenders at this point, but there's a future ahead. Because you know what? When you keep trying to find the next, when you keep trying to find the guy as your GM, you're probably eventually going to. And the more cracks you take at it. And Mara has this idea that if you keep cycling through GMs, you're going to be viewed as incompetent. But that's not, I mean, and that is somewhat true until you find the guy, and then suddenly you're competent. Look at the Browns right now. They were the worst organization ever, and then they found a competent front office, and now they're on the way up. And it's just sad to see that, like, even the way they're handling Gettleman, it's why not announce 3 weeks ago Gettleman will be retiring at the end of the year? Dude, that's not firing him. That's just saying he'll be retiring and then telling everybody on the market, okay, we're open for business. Do you want to, if you want to talk to us? And, you know, you get a jump start ahead of everybody else on your GM search. And now, I mean, they still will, you know, I'm sure that the Monday after week 18, Gettleman will announce his retirement and all this great stuff. But I just don't have that much hope. There was a report earlier in the week about Joe Judge and Daniel Jones coming back next year. And see, like, I don't necessarily think that it's bad to have Daniel Jones and Joe Judge on this football team next year. I think Joe Judge is a bad coach. I mean, he did something against the Eagles. They ran a fake fourth down. They ran the ball on third and four, which you should only do if you're definitely going for it on fourth down. And then they put the offense on the field and had them run off to like fake out the Eagles, which is, according to Joe Judge, his form of aggressiveness. Like, he's a mess of a coach, but I don't think he's a bad guy in the organization. I honestly like his talent, not necessarily talent evaluation. I like the way he views the game, and I feel like they talked about bringing coach GM on with Judge's philosophy, and I don't think that's that bad of an idea. But you just should never force anything on a new GM. A new GM should be able to walk in and say, I have an open, you say, do what you want, it's your team, including his head scout. But right now, Giants head scout is Chris Mara, and John Mara is not going to fire Chris Mara. And it's alarming right now that a lot of signs point to Kevin Abrams coming in next year. Dan Dugan put out an article with The Athletic highlighting some potential replacements, and he did note that Abrams is very different philosophically from Gettleman, and I don't necessarily think Kevin Abrams would. I don't know if he'd be a bad GM. I don't have hope, but I don't know if he would. But the thing is, you don't like teams like you promote GMs from competent organizations. The Giants should be looking, and looking at the Dugan article, looks like they are doing this. You know, the Colts organization, the Ravens, the Titans. I mean, these are organizations that are well run. Even the Patriots, I don't think the drafting has been great, but they're still, I mean, it's the Pats. Like, these are well run organizations. That's where you should be trying to pluck guys from, because clearly they know something that your team, which hasn't been good in a decade, doesn't. And there's a reason no one is interviewing Kevin Abrams for their GM openings, because no one says, let's go pluck the guy from the Giants. They're doing great. Like, especially the guy that's been there for 20 years. And I understand that Mara thinks that Abrams has earned it, and, you know, he's been there for 20 years, all that great stuff. But you don't earn it when you are the number two of an incompetent organization. And this team needs a massive philosophy change on how they approach the game. And maybe someone of – and I think that someone more like-minded with Judge would be like that, but also – and honestly, I'm fine giving Judge one more year, but the thing is, what's one more year going to show you when, regardless of who the next GM is, unless they make a blockbuster trade for, like, Russell Wilson, you're not going to see massive changes on this team. I mean, they have no cap space. They have a couple first-round picks, but what kind of impact are those guys going to have rookie year? I mean, Andrew Thomas has been great this year, but he was not good his rookie year because it takes, especially linemen, it sometimes takes them a little while to come to the league, and that's fine. But Judge is probably not going to show you something crazy next year. So one more year probably won't show you anything different. So I don't get the ceremonious send-off for Gettleman, which he hasn't earned. And it's just the GM search, they're just putting themselves behind the eight ball just already to start it. And they should not be doing that.
Yeah, I mean, like, it makes no sense to leak that. Because, like, that Schefter report didn't come from, like, thin air. Like, the Giants definitely leaked that. And, like, you're just going to tell people, like, hey, so if you want this job, you have to work with Joe Judge. You have to work with Daniel Jones, where neither of them have proven that, you know, they're particularly good at their jobs. Like, Judge, like, as, like, a fake GM-type, like, role, like, he's been fine. Like, I have liked his couple draft classes, I think, when he's been with us. But, like, Jones doesn't really move the needle for you as, a you know, your franchise quarterback. And, like, Judge as a coach, he's absolutely horrendous, like, this is actually a good time because Ben Baldwin, athletic stats guy, tweeted like his new fourth down charts today, where like it's a big edge we've seen in football where like coaches like Brandon Staley, Kevin Stefanski, Dan Campbell even, they exploit fourth downs for like their advantage. So Joe Judge, his Giants rank sixth worst in when they go for it when they should. And if you take into account like the magnitude of the decisions, like which one matters more. Like, he's also sixth worst in, like, how much win probability they're losing off that. So, like, you know, it's just, like, a lot of things where, like, Judge doesn't inspire hope as a coach. Or, like, you know, he's saying one thing in a press conference. You don't see any of that translate over on the football field. He's a special teams coach. The Giants special team unit is, like, third worst in football this year, I'm pretty sure. So, like, you know, nothing inspiring there. And regarding, like, the GM opening that's going to be there, Kevin Abrams hasn't done anything to prove to, like, at least outsiders that, you know, he's good at what he does, because all you see with the Giants regarding, like, his role is, like, a cap guy, right? Like, he focuses on cap space, manipulates it, whatever. They don't have cap space. Yeah. They just keep pushing back contracts until, like, you know, eventually they're going to deal with it, which looks like it's going to be this year. And they were relying on, you know, like, oh, there's going to be a massive jump in cap space due to, like, the TV deals and whatever. It's not that big. It's only going up to like $208 million, I think it is. So, you know, they're not really in a good spot there. And as you said, no one's really like, hey, Kevin Abrams, let's hire him as our GM because he's good at what he does. No one feels that way. If they do go with an outsider, which is absolutely the way they should go, ideally, you know, they get to pick what they want to do with Joe Judge, but that doesn't seem like it's going to happen. So, yeah, it's not a good spot to be in. It's not going to get any better anytime soon. And it's basically, you know, you're locking the team in for like another year of like 5-12, I guess now.
Yeah. I mean, you're putting what you're doing is you're forcing these guys onto the new GM, but these are not, like you said, these aren't two proven assets. It's not like you're saying, all right, you have Belichick and Brady. We need you to keep them. Like, yeah. But these are two dudes entering prove it years. I mean, if they both have bad years next year, they're gone. So it's like, what's the point of getting so, although we thought that with Jones this year, but like, so what's the point of forcing these guys onto them when you don't even know if they're the real deal? I mean, I genuinely am just rooting for them to be embarrassed these next 2 weeks. Because I'm hoping that's what it may take. And I don't think that's too far from happening. I mean, the Bears in Washington are not good, but they're probably good enough to take advantage of Jake Fromm / Mike Glennon. Like, they're probably good enough to put to destroy this team. And I'm kind of rooting for that. And I don't like rooting against my team, but I've been doing it for so long for draft positioning. And at this point, it's not even about draft positioning. It's just I hope Mara can just see, like, that. I mean, I think I went to the Cowboy-Giant game 2 weeks ago, and it was all Cowboy fans. I mean, you were, that place was overrun, because who the hell wants to go watch the Giants? I mean, I went because I went with my family, and it was fun, and it was more of a like, oh, let's go to a football game thing, and like, let, I wasn't invested in the game, because I went the moment that kickoff happened, I was like, oh, they lost, it's okay. Like, I was never expecting them to do anything but get their asses kicked, and that's what happened. And it's just, I mean, they're just a really bad team, and they need. They need a full change. It's, they're long overdue for it, and I hope Mara. I mean, I don't expect him to fire his son, but maybe move your son into a consulting role. Don't give him director of anything. Like, make him like, you know, like, fine. I don't care if Chris Mara's in the meetings, but let's put someone above him. Like, he hasn't really proven himself as a director of scouting, because this team hasn't had great draft classes except for the last 2 years, which. He's been here for decades, so I don't think something just clicked. They have a lot of assets, but it pains me. Like, I was genuinely sad watching the Eagle game, because I was just thinking the amount of assets that this team wasted. I mean, you started out, I'm not even talking about cap space. Obviously, they've wasted cap space. Everyone wastes cap space. Most guys who are free agency aren't worth the money they get. But I mean, you started out, you drafted running back at second overall in a draft class that you just butchered every single pick of. And it was, they were quality picks, because you had the second worst record in football. Obviously, Hernandez hasn't worked out. The next year, you fall in love with a quarterback prospect. But that quarterback prospect announces he's going to wait until the next year. So instead of potentially going after him the next year, you rush it. And you take Daniel Jones, who no one thought should be taken at six, but Gettleman thinks that he's this genius scout who can out-scout everybody, which no one can do. With the amount of information that these scouts have, I don't think that there's one team or one scout that's that much better at evaluating talent. So that draft class is a waste, because and then you use the 17th pick on a nose tackle. He's been good. I like Dexter Lawrence, but he's not worth the 17th pick. It's just more horrible positional value. Then the next year, you pass up on that quarterback that you fell in love with. Genuinely, I like Andrew Thomas, and I think he's a mainstay at left tackle. I think that they found their left tackle of the future, and that's a great job. But still, they could have had Justin Herbert, and they could have had that quarterback they fell in love with. And they also, the year before, could have had Josh Allen at six, who has become one of the better young edge rushers in the league, and this team needs an edge rusher. And it's just, it's every year. The first really good move of the Gettleman regime, I think, was last year trading back, where, I mean, you can say they should have taken Slater, they should have taken Parsons. That's, both are very fair. Both seem like they're starters, more than starters, stars in this league. But I can't get mad, really, ever if a team trades back. Because now the Giants are going to have another top 10 pick next year. And maybe potentially trade back one more time. Because, I probably would trade back. And especially if they want, like, Tyler Linderbaum, he'll probably fall. Like, you know, they should just keep trading back. But it's just the amount of assets that this team has wasted in the Gettleman regime. It's genuinely the worst regime I've ever seen of any sports team I root for. Because, like, the Knicks have been horrible, but they never were. It's not that the Knicks had these top picks year after year they're wasting. They were just stuck in mediocrity, where they were always like falling within like the 7th, 8th, 9th pick. And they made bad draft picks, but like they didn't draft a running back at 2. and everyone's like, oh, it would have been a good pick if he stayed healthy. No, it wouldn't have. But if he stayed healthy, it's a running back. I mean, this is a very injury-prone position. You're getting hit at your legs all the time. These guys get hurt. You have to acknowledge that when you draft one at 2. And Barkley is, it seems like he'll never be the running back he was when he came his rookie year. Because he was objectively an he's an amazingly talented guy. But he's not, I mean, either hopefully he's just not fully healthy. But, I mean, Devontae Booker has been objectively better this year. Neither have had anything to run with, but Booker's done more with less, or done more with the same. And, I mean, it's just a mess.
Yeah, I mean, like, So starting with their 2018 draft class, there's like, so Barkley, obviously, Hernandez is bad. Lorenzo Carter's been hurt. The best player they drafted in that draft class isn't on the team anymore because the Giants felt the need to trade him away for a center because they couldn't fix their offensive line coming into the fourth year of Gettleman's term here.
Hog mollies, man. Hog mollies.
Which is, BJ Hill, who's having a great year with the Bengals.
Yes.
Then his year after, he took Jones, he took Lawrence, he traded up in the first round to take DeAndre Baker.
That's gotta be the worst one.
I feel like that's like when like people forget, like, it's not only that like he took him, he traded up to take him. And he hasn't been good. That all those other picks, Julian Love looks like competent. Darius Slayton isn't good anymore. That's really it. Then you go to 2020. So this is like the first draft year where Joe Judge was here. So here you actually saw like a little like, glimpse of hope maybe, because they took like important positions early, two tackles, two secondary players. But like even then, like they drafted what, two good players out of, I think it's nine picks they had that year. Because like a lot of like the late round picks, they took, so with their last five picks, they took four linebackers. And not like, so Cam Brown, Carter Coughlin, TJ Brunson, and Tay Crowder. It was like special teams players at best. And then this year, Tony was a good pick. Aziz was a good pick. Aaron Robinson, I like that pick actually a lot. I think they traded up for him too.
Think they did,
Yeah. So I don't know. It got a little better, but the philosophy, I don't know like how much of it's really changed. I don't know whether it should be inspiring hope for the future. Like this year now. So with two first round picks, like you said, like two players aren't gonna fix this team. So definitely, trade back if you can. Whether they can or can't is like another deal, but I don't know. Address what you can, keep trading back if you can, and try to fix it by 2023. Like, how sad is that? Like, we're already looking forward to 2023, and it's not even the end of
yeah.
21 yet.
I mean, that, yeah, just next year seems like it's a wash. And because it's just, it amazes me that he, in his introductory press conference, said the game is won in the trenches. I don't know if that's, if he said that exactly, but basically that's his philosophy that,
Yeah.
it's the two lines that decide the game, which I don't think is that bad of a philosophy. But then he just neglected to get a single good edge rusher. And he got one offensive lineman in 4 years. And people want to say like Shane Lemieux sucked last year before his injury.
Yeah.
Nick Gates is a very unfortunate injury because that was a good find by Gettleman and he
He
was
was
at
on the
least
team though
competent.
for a little while though, wasn't he?
I think he was a Gettleman. I think he was, wasn't he like undrafted under Gettleman?
The
I mean,
time search up.
Google it up.
Yeah, even like Matt Pert, right? Who like everyone, I don't know why people thought he'd be good, honestly. Like he played college football at UConn. Like, come on.
Developmental linemen rarely work out. Like, if you
Yeah.
drafted the offensive lineman outside of like the first round, there's a very good chance he busts. Most guys, because linemen are very hard to find. I mean, especially specifically tackles outside the first round.
Yeah.
Like,
Okay. So Gates was undrafted. Gettleman signed him. But even like him, right? It took 3 years because this was like his first year where he was playing like
yeah.
decent football. And even then, it's an offensive lineman. He got hurt, which sucks for him. But like, you can't really count on him to play football again next year. Like,
No, that, I mean, he had a gruesome
yeah,
injury.
that was
It's,
bad.
you don't know if he'll, like, I mean, and you can't blame Gettleman for the injury, obviously, whatever. But, I mean, Matt Pert, they said that they like their offensive line more than the media and more than
Yeah.
fans do. And they were so wrong. The
Which
line has
that's
been
like
horrid this year.
sense, yeah, that's just like, sense of like you have way too big of an ego to like have that much faith in yourself.
He,
Like maybe listen to like what like the hundreds of people around you are saying about like,
yeah.
your talent evaluation or something, which is
I
like
mean, they
even
got
like
zero linemen.
yeah, his
Zero.
first year, remember, I think he signed what, Patrick Omame to like a 3-year, $60 million
Yeah.
deal. They cut him before the season was even over. Like,
Yeah.
I don't know, he hasn't done anything well, but like the line specifically was supposed to be like his thing that he fixed, offensive and defensively. Defensively, let Tomlinson go. Dexter Lawrence hasn't progressed since like his rookie year. Leonard Williams, sure, he's good. You're also paying him like a top three edge rusher in football. You don't have a single good edge rusher on the team unless besides like Azeez, who you drafted in your fourth year now.
Yeah.
So like, I don't know. There's nothing to take away. Like, oh, he set us up a good foundation. Oh, like, you know, we have this player at least. There's not much there.
Yeah, I mean, like, you think about, like, the foundation. It's like, who on this team do you want to be here in 3 years?
Mm-hmm.
And for me, I think Andrew Thomas, Xavier McKinney, I like. And then, I mean, after that, Azeez, I think, is good. And then after that, I don't know. I mean, I like Tony. Tony.
Tony. I would say Kenny Golladay, even though they couldn't figure out how to use him this
year. Yeah. I mean, it's like Golladay is what, like 29, right?
Yeah.
So I mean, he's still Golladay and Williams, just bad asset management with both of them. They're just overpaid, and I mean Golladay and Tony were both guys who they brought in, and were like, okay. And everyone was thinking it was, they're talented. Will the Giants have any idea how to utilize them in a Jason Garrett offense? And the answer was just no.
Oh, yeah. I mean,
like, Jason Garrett, it was like, okay, so Jason Garrett's going to be more creative. He has Kadarius Toney. He has these weapons. Let's see what he does. And the offense somehow has stepped back. And you can blame the offensive line, whatever. But Joe Burrow threw for 525 yards and four or five touchdowns last week with a worse passing off pass protecting line. And, I mean, you can, and when you have a guy like Tony, this isn't a dude, like, I mean, Golladay, he's at his best when you're going deep balls. You need some time for him to get down the field. Tony, you can run a screenplay for and he'll do something. Like, you can get creative ways to get the ball in his hands, and they just didn't. I mean, they have underutilized him when he's been healthy.
And yeah.
It's just a mess top to bottom.
Yeah, so what, we named, like, five players you'd want to keep around. I'd say, you know, Aaron Robinson, too, maybe.
Robinson, like, I see more from him. You just don't know what you have yet.
Other than that, though, like, there's no, like, you know, a big thing with, like, teams making the playoffs usually is, like, they have good cost efficiencies with some of their players. Like, you see a lot of teams exploit, like, oh, the rookie QB deal with, like, the Bengals or the Chargers, for example. And you see a lot of teams, you know, maybe they have, like, a cheap receiver or two. The Giants have – they've completely, like, lost that window now because – your QB, Jones, you know, he's in his fifth-year option after next. So he's going to start being expensive. You already invested, like, a shitload of money into, like, all your other positions where, for what, 4 wins at this point? So, I don't know. There's nothing to, like, say, like, hey,
there's nothing.
Good job. Yeah, like, it's the Giants.
The cost efficiency comes from drafting. I mean, really, that's from good drafts because good teams have depth. At every position,
like the Cardinals too, right? So they drafted Josh Rosen. Like, that's something they did. They recognized, hey, he sucks. So they, you know, they moved on from him and drafted Kyler Murray right after, and they're about to make the playoffs too. So like, that's another thing. Like, being able to cut ties with your players is like, I don't feel like it's like talked about that much, but like. It's big. If you can do that, like, you know when to do it, like, it'll give you such a heads up or, like, just a, like, leg up over, like, your competition the year after.
Yeah, I feel that has to do with it, that whole Gettleman ego thing that we talked about, like.
For sure.
Because Gettleman thinks he can out-scout everybody. So he thinks Barkley, Jones, Lawrence, like, most people agree these were bad picks or reach picks, whatever. But he said, or trading third for Leonard Williams. Like, he said, you're wrong. I know talent more than you do. So when he does that, he forms these emotional attachments to players. Even DeAndre Baker, he traded up for him. He was not a player you trade up for. Even
right.
I mean, what the character issues aside, like, you just don't trade up in that position. But he's like, I can't let this guy go. I know more than anybody that he's going to be a star.
Yeah.
He's usually wrong. But then he wants to prove it. And he can't move on the next year or in 2 years because Daniel Jones is attached to him. So because Daniel Jones is attached to him, he can't be the one to say, oh, we have to go draft Justin Herbert, even though he probably knew Justin Herbert was better. But he had this attachment to prove that Jones was an NFL QB. And And honestly, Jones has been better than I expected. And that's not saying much because I didn't expect anything from him. And I mean, he's a fine quarterback. He's not good. Obviously.
He's going to turn into like one of those guys that's basically going to be like a bridge quarterback for the rest of his career.
He's Nick Foles, Teddy Bridgewater. Yeah. That's the level. He's a bottom 10 normal QB. He'll make a lot of money.
Yeah.
He's Marcus Mariota's future, same as his. He'll just keep getting signed. I mean, he should be our bridge quarterback, honestly, for next year. But I don't know what the answer is at the QB position, but I just remember there's a Gettleman quote when he drafted Jones that you got to avoid QB hell. And that's exactly where we are.
Yeah, we've been there for a little while now.
It's not bad. Like, this idea that QB hell is avoided by drafting a bad quarterback is just – it's just insane. And
yeah.
It's just – and you know what? Like, if he drafted Sam Darnold in 2018, it would have been a good pick because Darnold's been a bust and 100%. But – it's you move on.
It's the right process, you know. Yeah. That matters a lot more.
Exactly. Yeah. That's really what it is. It's they didn't think Kevin Abrams was ready for the GM position in 2017, so they wanted Dave Gettleman to train him. If Kevin Abrams is learning from Gettleman and learning from that process and philosophy, I do not want him anywhere near this franchise.
Yes, I think he got like worse as a possible.
100%. Like, I mean, I just can't – like, I know the signs are pointing to it, but I just can't see the Giants hiring Abrams.
Yeah, no, I don't think
– PR-wise, it's just – it would be just killed.
Yeah.
I don't think Tisch will let it happen, honestly. And he usually isn't involved in – but you can't – Merrick cannot – there's no sell to the fans. We've been horrible for years. He's been there the whole time. We're going to give him the reins. Like, you can't tell the fans anything other than someone who is nowhere near the organization.
Right. Yeah. You want it? You know, let's do – all right. This is pretty interesting. So PFF, they're grading, right? If we use it for – so two aspects, the passing and receiving, right? I'm just going to list off, like, the teams in, like, 1 to 32. It's pretty interesting that, like, almost top 20 teams for both of them are playoff contending teams. So, yeah, like, for the pass grade, right, you start with the Bengals, Buccaneers, Vikings. So 2 out of 3 right there. The Chargers, Cardinals, Cowboys right after.
Playoff. You say the Bengals are number one in passing?
Yeah, Burrow has the highest PFF grade for passing.
And the Bengals have the, according to ESPN, the third worst pass block win rate. So get out of here, man. Jones just needs an offensive line.
And they have the 25th worst pass blocking grade by PFF too. So
like out of here.
Yeah. And then if you look at after, so the Raiders are 7th and they're 8-7. I didn't even realize they're 8-7.
Really? They lost to the Giants. No, if you lose to the Giants, I lose respect for you.
Then you have the Titans, Packers, Patriots, Rams, Bills. And then even after that, how are the Chiefs at 15? You have Patrick Mahomes, and you told me they're the 15th best passing.
Yeah, I mean, Packers and Bills, I was also going to say, are lower than I was expecting.
Yeah. Yeah, and then if you go to, like, receiving, right, so top 10, 49ers, Cowboys, Bengals, Packers, Patriots, Vikings, Cardinals, Raiders, Bills, Rams. Those are, like, almost all playoff teams.
I mean, that's how you win. It
doesn't, like, take much to realize that, too.
It's just insane to me that you can look around the league, see that all the best teams are the best passing teams, and you have and still have the philosophy, I'm gonna run the ball to win the games. And I feel like Gettleman probably bases that philosophy on like those BS stats that are like, you know, the Rams were 11-0 when Todd Gurley had 30 carries or more.
They do that.
It's like, no shit, you run the clock out. Like,
the Colts are like 8-0 when Taylor rushes for like 100 plus yards. I wonder why he's rushing for 100 plus yards.
Yeah, I mean, and Taylor's an animal.
Yeah,
like, that dude's an insane running back who was not a first round pick. Like, because I mean, the best running backs in the league right now are not first round picks.
Yeah.
I mean, now that I think about it, that was a first round pick? I mean, Barkley.
So if we go by like.
They're both done.
next gen stats, like their stat rushing yards over expected, right?
Yeah.
So here are like the top, we can do like top 10 running backs. So Jonathan Taylor is one. Nick Chubb is second. Tony Pollard is third. Then you have Chase Edmonds, Damian Harris, Elijah Mitchell, who was a sixth-round pick this year, Javonte Williams, Dalvin Cook, Miles Sanders, Ramondre Stevenson, A.J. Dillon. The only guy who might have been a first-round pick was Dalvin Cook, and I don't think he was. He was a second-round pick.
Yeah, most of these guys are second-rounders.
There's not a single first-round pick on that list. Yeah, it says quite a bit.
I mean, it's actually interesting. I feel like with running backs, I guess it's kind of this old school method too, but it's like the best running backs, it feels like, are not what Barkley was, where Barkley was always trying to get to the outside and get a home run on every play. Like, they are the north-south dudes who just get every yard because, you know, I mean, I watched A.J. Dillon last week, and he just – dude's a tank.
Pounds guys, like up the
middle. He just keeps, those extra yards that you get on runs, not as much as when you pass it, but like, I mean, Dillon, he didn't win the game for them, but there was a play where he got the first down that won the game for them when I thought he would stop like 6 yards short. He just kept going. I mean, that's how you win. It's these north-south runners. That's why Devontae Booker's been better than Barkley, because he knows what holes to go through and just gets every extra yard he can. That's how you, I mean, it's just insane.
Yeah. This is pretty interesting. So Saquon, right, he has negative 0.44 rushing yards over expected per attempt, which is like basically, I think, 11th or 12th worst in the league. Right next to him is also Najee Harris, who is also, you know, a first-round pick this year. That was really interesting. People genuinely thought he was going to fix the Steelers' running game. The Steelers have like a bottom five run blocking offensive line this year.
Where's Zeke on
it's
that?
Like, a lot of this stuff is like stuff like we know it's true already. It's just like there's certain people who are somehow in like the positions of power in the NFL who haven't caught on to it.
Yeah. Where's Zeke on that list?
That's a good question. He's like right around average, negative 0.05. But then, like, you compare that to his teammate, Tony Pollard, who's at 0.9.
Pollard's the best running back on that team.
Yeah.
And Pollard is, I mean, it's amazing how teams still don't understand, just don't pay running backs.
Yeah.
Because you'll find ones pretty easily. And, I mean, it's insane. And
I think, like, that deal we saw Aaron Jones get last offseason, where it was, like, 4 for 26 or something. I think that might become, like, the norm for, like, top tier. I don't want to say the norm, because, like, you're still going to have guys like Derrick Henry, Christian McCaffrey that are going to get paid. But, like, that might be, like, an effective type deal. Like, Nick Chubb got something similar.
Yeah, I mean, I'd give Barkley at his peak, I would have made him even more. I would have given Barkley, like, $10, $11 million a year, which probably may have been an overpay. But when he was at his peak, I thought he was that good. Yeah. But never 20.
See, I mean, like, that's like the problem though with running backs. Their peak like that only lasts like 1 year, 2 years. Like, it's not going to be like a wide receiver where they can be dominant for like 5 years. There's just so many things working against you know, running backs. Like, it's not really possible.
Yeah, I mean, the way Barkley plays, you knew he was going to get hurt. I mean, this is a dude who makes cuts every single play. Yeah. He makes cuts from 3 yards behind the line of scrimmage. Like, I mean, it sucks because I love him as a person. He's a dude who deserves to. I mean, I'm really interested in what his payday is going to look like, because he's going to get paid, but he hasn't earned it in 3 years.
Yeah. Like,
if he stays and if he has not proven he can stay healthy, like, I wouldn't even. I mean, I feel like he'll probably make a lot of money just based off being Saquon Barkley.
Mm-hmm.
But if he has a bad year next year, when he is, and then he hits free agency, like, I don't understand. I would be, I genuinely be surprised if a team gave him like $10 million.
Yeah, like, you know, the other thing with like Barkley was like when he came out of college, it was like, oh, he can be a CMC type player where like he can do a lot as a receiver too. He can't. That he hasn't gone over like a 63 receiving grade the last 3 years. He doesn't really do much, like, after the catch now. His efficiency is awful just as a receiver. And, like, as a running back, we know, like, he doesn't really do much anymore. He just kind of takes what he can get, tries to make something else out of it. But like, he doesn't really do much, you know, after contact now. Yeah, I don't know. There's not much like inspiring about Saquon Barkley, the player, anymore that like warrants like, oh yeah, he should get paid. You know, he deserves
it. Yeah, there's nothing.
There's nothing really there.
I was trying to think about it. Like, I can't remember the last time he had one of those touchdown, like where one of those home run runs. Like, I feel like his rookie year, he'd have all these infuriating runs where it'd be like, just get the yard, but he wouldn't because he'd be trying to get the home run, and then he'd eventually get it. Like, he'd eventually find that hole and then just outrun everybody and be like, okay, fine, I'll take those crappy runs for that. Yeah. And I don't think he's done that this year. Like, I can't remember a long – he's had, like, a couple 20, maybe 30-yard rushes the last few games. Like, he is
– His longest rush this year is 41 yards.
I mean, that's good, but not – that's not what he – I mean, his rookie year, I feel like he had
– Tell me what his rookie year was. So, 2018. His long was 78.
Yeah, I mean –
2019 – even like 2019, well, he was healthy for 2019. Longest was 68.
Yeah, I mean, that's what a home run was.
And like, I think a better way to look at that is like, so PFF has this stat. It's just pretty simple. It's just like a breakaway percentage, where like the percent of plays where you're gaining 10 or more yards on. So 2019, he was at 33%. 2018, he was at 54, which that's impressive. But then this year, he's at 27.8.
Yeah.
Just like sad. I don't know. It's just like, it's not even like fully his fault because, you know, he just hasn't been healthy. But that's like why you don't invest in a running back. It's that really that simple.
Yeah. It's like I said earlier, it's like the whole, oh, well, what if he was healthy? Maybe it would have been a good pick. You have to account for injuries when you invest in a position. And like, that's a whole part of the scouting process. Will this guy be on the field? And you know, that's if you're with Tony. And I'm not – I don't really get mad, honestly, when teams invest in players at other positions with health issues, because I'm like, if the dude's talent is warranted, he figures out ways to healthy. But running backs always get hurt. Every running back, it feels like, tears an ACL. I mean, McCaffrey right now is making big money. He can't stay healthy. Like, it's just – it's really amazing how bad of a pick that was and how that started off this regime. And it's just been terrible since.
Yeah. You know, like, that should have been like a foreshadowing sign or something. Just like set the tone. Like, this isn't going to get any better.
Last thing Giants wise. So I think we were both in agreement. They need a quarterback for the future. Mm-hmm. Daniel Jones is not the guy, and I doubt he's here after next year. I still think there's a chance he's not here next year. He's not here next year, despite that Schefter report. I think that, I mean, I don't know, new GM loves one of these kids coming out or something, or something like Russell Wilson. So Russell Wilson, 7-time Pro Bowler, I mean, has been one of the best QBs in football for years. He is 33 years old as of about a month ago. Would you go for him, and what would you give up for him?
Yeah, so I don't know. I'm gonna start with the fact that I don't think Seattle trades him. I still think Seattle's gonna run it back next year because, you know, he wasn't healthy this year, and like the rest of their team's actually been performing like okay enough where like if you have Russell Wilson, like they'll be a good playoff team, I think.
Do you think they keep Carroll?
Yeah, I think they do too. I don't think they're going to shake much up there. But regarding like if he were to be traded, they definitely should try to trade for him. I think eventually he'd basically just kind of become too pricey for them to commit to a trade. Because so you saw Matt Stafford, right, who we think of like as like, you know, a good, not great quarterback. He went for 2 first rounders, and I believe it was a 3rd. Wilson's, you know, perennial top 5 kind of guy, the way we talk about him. So I think he would be a lot more expensive. Probably, you know, he's declined this last year, injuries and such. So I think it would be 2 firsts, probably like 2 seconds, a 2nd and a 3rd, or like, and a quality young player too, which, you know, I don't really think, again, like, the Giants are in a position to give that up for him. So I don't think they would. So that's kind of my take on it. But like in the end, I don't think a trade happens with Wilson this offseason.
So would you give, would you, if you were running the Giants, give that up?
Yeah, I would. If as long as like I'm not devoiding myself of two first rounders in this year's class.
Yeah, I agree.
So like, as long as like they're spaced out, you know, I'd be willing to take that risk. But this year, I don't think I would.
I'd give up, you know, first one of the two first, probably the higher one. I mean, mm-hmm. definitely the higher one. This year, a first next year, and then I'd give up like, you know, a third, whatever. And then honestly, if there's a team that would see value in him, I think it's the Seahawks. I'd try to see if they take Barkley in that. Because yeah. I genuinely feel like the Seahawks are a team that would, like, see the value in Barkley. I think the Giants should really be trading Barkley this year because you said that he values at a low, whatever. But he's the free agent after next year, so you can't trade him after then. And I think they can surprisingly get something of value for him because a lot of teams are just stupid.
And yeah, I think like just like you said, just based on like the name value alone, like you'll probably get, you know, not a second, maybe a third. Like you could get a fourth round pick for him.
If you get a third for him, you gotta jump at that.
Yeah,
and they're going to, I feel like, sell off a lot. And I would, I mean, I honestly would be all in on Russ, if not just for a selfish reason where I want to watch this team do some meaningful shit, like. He is great. I mean, he's had a bad year, but he's a great quarterback. Mm-hmm. And what Russell Wilson does for you is he probably makes your playoff team, even with this broken roster, because it's not as broken as, like, you know, I mean, the defense isn't good, but it's not horrid. I mean, they're not getting stepped on too much, except for when the offense can't stay on the field and the defense has to stay there. I like Patrick Graham. I think puts good schemes. If you get Freddie Kitchens, gets somewhat creative with play calling, they could take advantage of. It's a bad offensive line, but it does. They have good wide receivers. They just do. I mean, Shepard's gone, but Tony is a weapon. Galladay's a weapon. I mean, those are two guys that they should be taking advantage of. And I think Engram probably gets you to the playoffs. I mean, I think Wilson probably gets you to the playoffs. And once you're in the playoffs, I don't mean anything can happen. The Giants won two Super Bowls when they were far from the best team in football.
Yeah, I think it's definitely worth the chance. I don't think it'll happen, but definitely should go for it if they can.
Yeah. The other obvious route would be, I mean, I don't think they're going to – Rodgers is not going to move, I don't think. And Deshaun Watson hopefully will never play another game again. Yeah. I doubt he does. Unless something insane happens and all the allegations are proven false, which is just not true because they're all not. But I also think, and I mean, I'd rather just go one more year with Jones than go to a bridge quarterback. I don't think they need to, like, you know, spend money on Mariota or something to start next year. May as well just say, all right, screw it with Jones. Or, I mean, I'm not good at scouting at all, so I'm not gonna and I don't watch enough of the games to act like I know anything about the draft picks. I just say what other people say. And you know, these college QBs, it's supposed to be a bad class, but me and you talked about we talked about it on our now gone episode, but like, you know, bad QB classes happen and they are often wrong about it being a bad QB class. You mentioned like 2017, right?
Yeah, Mahomes,
Deshaun Watson. Those are two of the best QBs in football. And they came out of a quote unquote bad QB class. And they weren't even the top pick in that. Trubisky was, which I guess the bad QB class people were right about that one. But the next year, 2018, a great QB class. It's going to have four franchise guys. Rosen is horrid. Sam Darnold sucks. Baker sucks.
Yeah.
And Josh Allen is a franchise guy, and that has a lot to do with just the Bills' development in the end, because he was the rawest prospect. He was the boomer bust guy, and he has ended up booming. and then Lamar at the end of the first round, who wasn't even part of, when they talked about the great QBs in this class, they didn't mention him.
Yeah.
So, like, you just don't know. I mean, no one knows. And if they want to take, if they fall in love with one of these QB prospects, like Kenny Pinkett or whatever, like, I can't get mad at them for taking a chance. But at the same time, as long as they, like we said earlier, understand if it doesn't work out, you don't give him 4 years.
Right.
You, and if it doesn't work out and next year they're like, I don't know, somehow picking number one because it really doesn't work out.
Uh-huh.
And Bryce Young enters and Bryce Young is still this touted guy at that point, then you do that because you can't, you need a quarterback. It's the most important position. It's probably the most important asset in all of sports. A great
quarterback. Yeah, I mean, like, even this year, like, I know, so the main guys, right, you have Kenny Pickett, Sam Howell, Malik Willis, Matt Corral, I think how you pronounce it. I'd be fine if they take any of those guys. But even, like, in the second round, if they took, like, Desmond Ridder from Cincinnati, like, I'd like that a lot. Like, you saw, like, the Eagles, they took Jalen Hurts when in the second round when they had a quarterback, Carson Wentz, and it paid off for them. So it's like, again, it's just like a position you've got to take shots on. And whether it's like this year, you know, through a trade, through the draft, the year after through the draft, it's got to be done eventually. So you might as well, like, I wouldn't be opposed, like, a new GM came in and said, like, hey, I like this guy a lot, let's go get him. And then they trade Jones for whatever they can get for him. Like, that's a fine route to me.
Yeah, I mean, and honestly, like, they can get something for Jones.
Yeah.
I mean, they can, because he's not this – I mean, he's been a better NFL QB than Sam Darnold was, and Sam Darnold got a second. I mean,
I'm still crazy to me.
If they can get a second for Jones, I would be – I'd actually be shocked, because I think Sam Darnold was still just going off of the scouting high that teams had on him, and he was a much better prospect than Jones.
Yeah.
But, I mean, Jones has been better. He's proven – Jones is a competent QB. I mean, this is a dude that I'm fine – I mean, I'd much rather have him as our backup than Mike Glennon.
Yeah.
I mean, I think if you put Jones in a perfect, perfect, perfect situation, he can be a playoff QB.
Yeah, I think,
He's not someone who lifts the talent around him.
Yeah, I think, like, the floor for, like, a Daniel Jones trade is, like, what we saw when the Titans traded for Ryan Tannehill. They gave up a fourth round and a seventh round pick for Tannehill and a sixth round pick. Like, Jones will get you more value than that. Yeah. Like, at the absolute worst, like, that's what you'll get for him. Like, that's not that bad. Like, it's better than, you know, just, like, cutting ties with him completely. Yeah. But I think for, like, a Jones trade, it's basically, it would be the Sam Darnold trade, but, like, a third instead of a second.
That's why I think is, unless someone gets desperate.
Yeah.
But I don't think anyone, except for, I mean... I don't see a team in the league right now that's desperate for Jones. Honestly, I think a good match would be the Broncos, because that's a good situation for him.
Yeah.
I would, and I could also see, you know, Pat Shurmur is supposedly really like Jones. If he's still there next year,
yeah,
you know, he may say, okay, let me try with this guy one more year and see if I can get something out of him. Because Jones was objectively better under Pat Shurmur than he has been the last couple of years.
Yeah.
I'm
just going to push back on that real quick, because I think the Broncos have had enough of, like, QB, just, like, averageness, where I don't think they would take a chance on Jones. I think their GM, like, he treated last offseason's basis like a buffer year to, like, all right, we're going to ride with the bridge here. Let's try 2022 as our chance. I don't think it would be like, all right, we're going to do this, like, for another year, you know?
Yeah, but then who would they, like, I mean...
Well, I think they're going to try to swing for one of whether it's Rodgers, Wilson, or Watson. I'm not saying either of them's going to happen, but I think that's their goal right now. Because the rest of the roster is, like, it's pretty good. They have good receivers. They have an okay O-line. Defense always been good there. It's just – also, I don't think Pat Shurmur is going to stay there, because their offense really hasn't been producing lately, and I don't think they have the patience to, like, give him another year. Because their GM actually seems competent, you know. So, yeah.
Competent GMs, man. What a myth in a giant world.
Yeah, something we wish for.
Every day. Yeah, I'm trying to think if there's anything else Giants related. I feel like
But
there's something.
I think that's everything. I'm sure, like, at the end of the season, we'll have something else to talk about with them. And then come draft season, there'll be quite a bit.
Yeah, and I mean they'll probably be, I really hope that the day Gettleman's retirement is announced, something
Yeah.
else, they don't also end the GM search that day and aren't also like, we'd like to introduce our new GM
Yeah.
before. I mean, because this search needs to be wide ranging.
Yeah.
I mean, all right, is I it has been like 3 years. What is Wesley Steinberg? Like, I feel it's like I know it's satire, and then he'll like report something like a real person, and then it'll happen, and I'm like, I don't know what this is.
Yeah, I haven't paid much attention to like those type of accounts, but it is pretty eerie. Like he has gotten some things right.
Because he reported, quote unquote, that the Giants are close to feeling that are getting closer to blowing it all up, which I mean, I'm not gonna take out at all, but
Yeah, let's
honestly, if
talk
they get
about that.
embarrassed in the next 2 weeks, I could see something happening. Speaking of next
Yeah,
2 weeks,
no, I mean
this
like
week, I mean, go
it's
for it. What
like
are you saying?
sad that we have to root for it, but like they need to get embarrassed. It's what they
I want
need.
Washington celebrating a playoff berth on MetLife's
Yeah.
shitty ass turf. Like, no, I mean, just Bears against the Bears, who that win last week against the Bears absolutely crushed me, because there is that Bears pick is gonna fall now.
Oh, yeah.
But I was like, they were so close. Damn Seahawks.
You know, the
But
even worse part about that is that since the Bears won, not only does it harm us, but it also helps the Jets because they have that Seahawks pick.
just anything that helps the Jets makes me sad.
Yeah.
But regardless, the Bears, they are starting Nick Foles, most likely, who is their third string quarterback. And Nick Foles is so much better than Mike Glennon and Jake Fromm.
Yeah.
I mean, and Andy Dalton's a good backup. I know he was technically signed as a starter, but he's a backup. Nick Foles is a good backup. Like, I mean,
Yeah.
it's just it's more
I
incompetency
think it's
with
going to be Andy
backup
Dalton
QBs.
this week
It will be Dalton.
because he practiced fully. Yeah.
Better than Glennon slash Fromm.
Did
Yeah, it's
see
horrible.
that
It's
there?
horrible.
Talking about using Glennon and Fromm, like both of them, like
Yeah.
oh, they have certain strengths that they both have. Like they're you can't tell me either one of them has like a part of football that they're good at.
There's a John Madden quote I saw surrounding that. That's like, if you have two QBs, you don't have any.
Yeah,
I
no,
mean,
like exactly.
so true. I mean,
Yeah.
both. If you're gonna switch schemes, that means that you don't. That neither one is good. Yeah. So, do you want to move on to the whole locks thing?
Yeah, so let's do that. I know we're late to like football season and stuff, but we're gonna do three picks each that we each think's a lock this week. It can just be straight up, this team's gonna win. And then we're gonna do three picks against the spread for this week as well.
Let's get to this.
Yeah. So I'll start with one of my locks for this week. I'll say, okay, I don't wanna say like, I mean, if we really want to do like locks, we can both just take the Bills, Patriots, and 49ers.
Yeah.
Cause like, so let's try to do without those three teams.
Okay. And the
Cause
box, right?
the smallest spread out of those, all right, including the Bucs, the smallest spread is -13.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So those games are those are locks.
Yeah. All right. So for a lock, I'll start with quite confident, so the Chiefs I'll take over the Bengals. I'll take yeah, so Chiefs over the Bengals, Saints over the Panthers, and Seahawks over the Lions.
Yeah, those are all pretty good.
Yeah.
I'm gonna take the Packers over the
Fair.
Vikings just because, I mean, Packers are legit. If I keep looking, I'm sorry, I'm just going through
No, you're good.
because I had the other three teams. I think Colts over the Raiders. I
Okay.
know, but the Raiders
Is
are
that
8-7.
on the
I don't even know how.
contingency that Carson Wentz plays, though?
Yes,
Okay.
because I think with the new COVID stuff,
Yeah.
that should be out. And then I'm gonna say the Bears over the Giants. I mean, I don't see. There's no way Jake Fromm or Mike Glennon win a football game.
This year.
They just don't.
I mean, so. You can overlap too if you want with like my picks. Like,
Yeah. So then against the spread, oh my god. I think that the Chiefs cover that game against Bengals. Mm-hmm. Right now it's -5. We're going to see Fox Sports. I think they'll end up covering that. Honestly, I think the Texans cover. Not cover. The Texans. Wait, is it cover?
Yeah, cover. That's right there. You got it.
Not a betting man. I think the Texans, I mean, they're +12.5 against the Niners. I don't think much of the Niners. And Texans looked really good.
The site I'm looking at right now has it at +15.
If it's +15, then definitely.
Yeah, okay.
I think Texans, I mean, I don't know how the hell they did it, but they looked great last week against a really good Chargers team. And the Niners don't strike fear into me.
Yeah.
So I think they cover that one. And then I think Detroit covers against Seattle because Seattle's looked really not good.
Yeah.
They're a fine team, I think. I mean, I think they win. But Detroit's putting up fights every week, so I think that they'll get within that +7 according to this one.
Yeah, I'll take – so I'll do Las Vegas +6. I think I like that, especially with, like, the uncertainty with if Carson Wentz plays or not. I'll take – I don't know. I feel weird putting faith in Baker Mayfield, but I think the Browns, they'll cover -3 against the Steelers. And then for my last pick, I'll go. Is Lamar playing this week?
Let me see.
I think he's kind of just like assumed to be playing, right? At least that's what the line.
Yeah, he returned to practice.
Okay.
But he is limited.
Yeah, so. I don't know. I don't really have much faith. Even like if Lamar plays, that's a close spread to cover. I'll go with. Last pick, I'll take the Patriots -15.5. I don't think Trevor Lawrence hasn't thrown a touchdown since like, has he thrown one in his last 8 weeks?
I mean, he has been atrocious.
Yeah.
It's crazy. So,
yeah, I think I'll ride with that as my last pick.
All right. Sounds good. All right. Well, anything else?
No, I think we got everything. Nice little return episode right here.
Yeah. No doubt. Got all the technical issues back, so we're good there. And, yeah, thank you, everybody, for listening. Welcome back to the Nerd Speak podcast. I'm Adam Kovlik, Jay Patel. We will see you guys next time.